How are world events changing America's energy plans?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Unrest in the oil-rich Arab world. Meltdown concerns at a nuclear plant in Japan. What does all that mean for America's energy future? That's what President Obama will be talking about in a speech this morning. And our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is here live with a preview. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So how do all of these world events change the president's plans for energy policy?
Well, first, of course, is the question of nuclear power.
Right.
White House officials insist there's been no change in the president's policy that nuclear energy can be a safe source of electricity and one of a package of cleaner fuels. Yes, we need to learn from Japan, make sure it doesn't happen here, but it has to be part of the mix. He'll also say that higher oil prices from overseas should spur more domestic production. Oil companies have been complaining that the government's been refusing too many drilling permits ever since that Gulf oil spill. But, you know, the president's going to push back today and say the industry isn't developing readily available supplies of domestic oil.
And what about alternative fuels, John? Are we expecting to hear from the president on that front?
Yeah. He's already established several goals for producing electricity using cleaner fuels, more fuel-efficient cars and trucks, and he'll promise more incentives in that direction. You know, the White House hopes that a government push for cleaner energy can be a spark that pulls the economy out of the doldrums that we're in. So the president today will set a goal of cutting imported oil by a third in just a little over a decade.
We'll be watching. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Well, the Federal Reserve says it will not make its April 21st deadline to issue new rules on the fees banks can charge merchants when a debit card is used. The rules are part of the new financial reform law, and the delay is being blamed on the flood of complaints coming into the Fed. Some of those complaints coming from big banks. For more, we're joined by LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us what this fight is really all about.
Well, profits, not to put too fine a point on it. Now, the financial reform legislation that was passed in Washington, the Dodd-Frank bill, it cuts a broad swath. It goes after late fees on credit cards. It goes after overdraft protection. It goes after swipe fees. I mean, it really cuts a lot of ground. Now, a lot of these practices, lawmakers said, were abusive towards consumers. Banks said, no, this is part of our regular cost structure.
And the Dodd-Frank law is supposed to make things better for consumers and maybe, therefore, tougher on the banks.
Well, it's supposed to make things more transparent for consumers and also fairer for consumers. But here's the real thing now. Some would say that the $25 billion or so that's estimated to be lost to the banks was simply ill-gotten booty when it came to all the charges. The banks would say, no, this is money that was part of our regular profit line and our shareholders are expecting it. So the result is even though they've been cut off on some sides of the revenue structure, they're now imposing new fees in other places such as free checking. Forget about it. It's gone. B of A imposing a $59 charge on some credit cards, Chase experimenting with $5 ATM fees.
And do they really have to do that stuff, or is that just a way to try to get regulators to weaken these new rules?
Well, it's complicated. On the one hand, they're trying to make up revenue, and they want to keep their shareholders happy. On the other hand, they've been saying all along, look, if you turn the screws somewhere for us, we're going to need to turn the screws somewhere else. And they're kind of putting consumers in the middle. It's a little bit of a game of chicken right now between regulators and banks as to who's going to blink first.
And how do consumers end up in all of this?
Well, they end up between a rock and a hard place, but they do have some choices. For the moment, it looks like credit unions offer a good alternative, but they too might follow suit. A lot of the smaller institutions will probably follow the bigger banks down the more fees road, but there are choices in the marketplace. You should look around for them.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across the globe right now. Canadian drug company Valeant wants to buy rival Cephalon for about $6 billion. Cephalon is said to have a lot of promising drugs in its pipeline. Meanwhile, an FDA chemist was charged yesterday with insider trading. Authorities say he made millions trading drug company stocks based on secret FDA drug approval information. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 81 points to close at 12,279.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com.
There's a report out today that finds the healthiest place in the country isn't necessarily a place filled with hospitals. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has the details.
San Juan is the healthiest county in Washington state, and that's a little surprising. A quarter of its residents are uninsured, and they couldn't drive to a hospital if they wanted to.
It's all islands.
John Manning is the director of Health and Community Services.
The only way to get here is to fly or take a boat. I suppose you could swim if you were hardy enough.
And the county does have some of the hardiest residents in the state. That's according to a report today by the University of Wisconsin and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
If we do one thing with this report, we want to uncouple the link between the quality of health care and the health of the community.
Patrick Remington oversaw the nationwide report.
If a community like San Juan is active, eating right, not smoking, they won't need high-cost, life-saving health care.
And he expects more national programs to get Americans to live like the folks in San Juan County as healthcare reform rolls out preventative care initiatives over the next few years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, new research from a British dog food company finds man's best friend is a common thief. The company says canines steal more than $50 million worth of stuff from humans every year in the UK. Around 11% of pet owners said their dog stole cash and jewelry, while 74% reported their underwear had been nicked. Experts say the dogs just do it so their owners will play with them. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
College tuition and fees are high and rising, which presents a problem for the schools.
The challenge for higher education, and has been for a long time and will continue to be, is how do we maintain access at reasonable prices and still generate enough revenue to provide a quality product.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Tuition discounting is a great deal for students, not so much, though, for the schools they'll attend. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.